reading this morning is Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
May the Lord be in my heart and on my lips, that I may proclaim his word worthily and well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Francis Young. I'm a licensed lay minister here at Christ the Servant King. As we continue our Lent sermon series on prayer, this morning I'm going to be speaking about contemplative prayer. The best way I can think of to define contemplative prayer is that it's prayer that puts us in the presence of God. Now, of course, all prayer should do this, but contemplative prayer is specifically focused on this purpose. So it's different from what we might commonly think of as prayer, because it doesn't involve asking God for anything. Sometimes it doesn't even involve words. And I think the aim of contemplative prayer is well summed up in the words we've just heard from Psalm 27. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. This morning, I'm going to suggest three practical ways in which we can gaze on the beauty of the Lord in contemplative prayer. But first of all, I wanted to share a little bit about my own experience of prayer. At the beginning of this month, I spoke about prayer at the men's breakfast at Dobby's Garden Centre. And there I admitted that I've always found prayer to be a bit of a struggle in my walk with God. In fact, by the end of breakfast, I'd concluded that any one of the men there was probably better qualified to preach on prayer than I am, but there you go, here I am. I vividly remember the first time I tried to pray, really pray, that is. Sure, my mother had made me memorize the Lord's Prayer when I was very young, but I had no idea what it meant. I suppose I must have attempted to pray at some point when I was being prepared for confirmation, when I was about 12. But it wasn't until I was 16, after undergoing a life-changing experience that convinced me of the reality of God's existence that I felt I had to pray, not just that I ought to pray. So I sat down at the desk in my bedroom and tried to talk to God. I tried to tell him all the things that I was hoping for. But the trouble was that as soon as I felt that I was putting myself in God's presence, everything that I had wanted to say to God seemed to fade into insignificance. My thoughts fell silent, and all I wanted to do was stay there and wait for God to speak to me. Now, I suppose it's because this was my first experience of prayer that I've always found petitionary prayer, that is, verbally asking God for something, a very difficult challenge. Prayer is something deeply personal that's slightly different for everyone. And if you don't feel entirely comfortable with another person's way of praying, or you don't feel that you can pray in a certain way, that's absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. And I don't think that's a reflection of your maturity as a Christian. And in fact, we shouldn't be surprised that prayer is a very personal, intimate thing. After all, prayer is a relationship. It's a relationship with the most important person in our lives. Contemplative prayer aims to boil prayer down to its simplest essential component. Prayer is the process of becoming aware of the presence of God that is always with us and of uniting our souls with the living spirit of our Creator. So how do we do this? Well, a bewildering number of books have been written on the subject. People have spent their entire lives just in pursuit of more perfect contemplation of God. For me to claim that I'm any kind of authority or expert on the subject would be laughable. But this morning, I want to share three approaches that can work in getting us closer to God in contemplative prayer. And these are liturgical prayer, mantric prayer, I'll explain what that means, and visual prayer. If the three approaches have anything in common, it's that they try to minimize the extent to which we think in prayer. In petitionary prayer, so when we're asking God for something for ourselves or others, we kind of have to use our brains because we're thinking of the next thing that we're going to ask God for or the next situation where his presence is needed. But the aim of contemplative prayer, or one of its aims, is to do away with the thinking. And that's because it can interfere with the directness of our relationship with God. We're talking about prayer direct from the heart. But contemplative prayer is challenging. It's so challenging that for many hundreds of years, there have been people who've devoted their lives to it by living in communities dedicated exclusively to prayer. When I was at university, I became very interested in the monastic life, and I spent long periods at a Benedictine monastery in Yorkshire. The Benedictine approach to contemplative prayer is through a regular discipline of liturgical prayer. The monks chant five offices, beginning with matins at 6 a.m. I once stayed in a monastery where it was 2:30 a.m. I don't advise that. Followed by lauds, then the midday office, vespers at 6 p.m., and then compline at 9. The offices essentially involve chanting through the Psalms, like the psalm we've heard this morning. It's a very ancient practice that's mentioned in the New Testament. Paul wrote to the Colossians, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs." And the letter to the Ephesians refers to Christians speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. The Psalms were the foundation of the worship of the early church. They were taken straight over from Jewish worship. What the monks did from about the 6th century onwards was to turn the chanting of psalms into a way of contemplative prayer. So how does this work? Well, the beauty of liturgical prayer is that because it follows this preset pattern, it frees the spirit to seek God in contemplation. And the discipline of regular prayer at set hours in the day turns the act of prayer into a habit. When prayer becomes second nature, which is the aim of monastic life, deep and exciting exploration in prayer becomes possible. Now, I don't mean to say that we should all pray five times a day at set times. Clearly, that's unrealistic for most people. But personally, this Lent, I'm trying to pray the Psalms morning and evening so as to get into a pattern and a discipline of opening myself to God. A second approach to contemplative prayer is via mantras. A mantra is a repeated prayer which is said not so much for its meaning, although meaning is obviously very important, but for the effect that repetition of a simple prayer can have in making us open to God. Christians who use a mantric prayer, they may say a specific prayer a certain number of times, they may say it in a specific pattern or use prayer beads, but mantric prayer also has the advantage that it can be completely unstructured and have no set pattern or end. Some of you may have come across tese chants. The idea of tese chants is that they are memorized and then they'll be sung over and over again. You don't normally use a book or have a screen for them. And in fact, we're going to be using one of those for our prayers later on this morning. I once had a powerful experience of repeated prayer on a visit to a Greek Orthodox monastery in Essex. Every morning and evening in this monastery, the monks and nuns and their visitors spend around an hour and a half in church reciting the Jesus Prayer, and it's just up on the screen. Very simple. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. And they'll recite that over and over again. It's difficult to describe the effect of this unless you've experienced it. Repeating the same short prayer over and over again may sound to you very boring, but I found the Jesus Prayer both helpful and powerful. Sometimes I'll start to pray it spontaneously. And when that happens, it feels as though the prayer is spilling out of me, as if I'm entering into a stream that's feeding into a mighty river, carrying souls closer to God. The final approach to contemplative prayer that I want to consider this morning is visual prayer. Now, this approach is supposed to have been invented in the 16th century by Ignatius Loyola. I suspect it's actually a lot older than that. If you've got a strongly visual imagination, this approach could work for you. In visual prayer, you can either wait for God to give you images in prayer, or you can try to reconstruct an event in the Bible in your imagination. Ignatius believed that the more powerfully we focus our imaginations on God, the more on God's word, the more our hearts will seek God. So take, for example, a communion service like this morning's. What we could do is to try our hardest to visualize Jesus and the disciples in that upper room eating the Last Supper. What did it smell like? What were the sounds coming up from the street? What did it taste like? What was the lighting like? It would have been lit by oil lamps. What would that room have looked like from the different perspectives of different characters? These approaches to contemplative prayer don't work for everyone. One of the three I've described today might help you spend more time with God and get closer to him. Or you might find none of them are suitable, none of them work for you. There are many others that I don't have time to mention today. But I'll say it again. Contemplative prayer is deeply personal, individual to each person. So one reason why it's quite challenging to preach a sermon about it, because there's just so many different ways. And be warned, contemplative prayer is challenging. It demands concentration of a particular kind. You don't have to be clever, you don't have to have a high level of education, but it demands concentration and commitment. Faced with the majesty of God, it's very easy to lose heart and give up, especially when that concentration and focus fail us, which inevitably they will. The best response I've heard to this is from Teresa of Avila. She was a Spanish nun who was one of the most famous of all writers on contemplative prayer. She once had a vision of Jesus. She felt unworthy of this, and she confessed to the Lord that she'd lost concentration in prayer at least 40 times that day. "My child," the Lord replied, "that means 40 times you came back to me." Yes, contemplative prayer is difficult because it means being face to face with the majesty of God, but it also means being face to face with his inexhaustible mercy in all things, including our failures and our limitations in prayer. Amen.